B2. Number 27A, B.
So, this is the contribution of John Dolly, you can see. So, his method of treatment, he has laid down perhaps more or less in these few points that he says, therefore, how do we go about by giving a treatment? He says, the very first thing is to put the whole problem behind you, to turn away from the problem. See, all the other teaching, we are going out from the problem, trying to find from the problem the exact idea about which the lie is a counterfeit. Or to go out from the problem and say, there is no problem. Here, Mr. Dolly says, whatever the patient tells you and whatever he says is anyway a lie, so don't listen to it. Just put it behind you into a corner, at my time, he said, just put it into a corner and turn your back on this. And then just look into the immensity of the divine mind. That's the starting point. And then he says, turn to the infinite mind. And by turning to the infinite mind, fill your thought with the ideas of God. Fill your thought with the ideas of God. And as we know the synonymous terms, we know the ideas of God, and so you would start and say, fill your thought with the true man. And see that man is the idea of mind. Therefore that man is really power, his law, his intelligence, his guidance, his life. He has force, he has all vision, he has all understanding, he is enlightened. Man is the idea of spirit, therefore he is the idea of substance, he is the idea of unfoldment, of infinite unfoldment, he is the idea of fruit, he is the idea of birth, of infinite birth, and so on would establish the ideas of spirit. As the idea of man, as the idea of soul, man is sinless, man is unfallen, man is untouchable, man is unchanging, he's always at the point of joy, of satisfaction, of freedom. As the idea of principle, man is governed by principle, he's systematically governed by principle. Therefore, as the idea of man, he's harmonious, he's at the state of system, of the working of a rhythmic system. As an idea of life, man is always at the point of exaltation, of being untouched by any lack, by any disease, by any sickness, by any death. He's just exalted. He's just at the point of eternality, of immortality, of no beginning, no end. As the idea of truth, man is at the point of consciousness, of divine consciousness, knowing that he knows. Knowing that he knows is right. At the point of health, of wholeness, of true form. At the point of perfect ideal of the Christ consciousness, of dominion. As an idea of love, he's constantly at the point of fulfillment, of satisfaction, at the point of consummation, at the point where he's fearless, without jealousy, without hatred, without anything. He's at the point of fulfillment and rest and peace and joy and so on. And he says, and stay with that, that's man. And he says, that alone can heal. If that consciousness is pure enough, then it is at the point of absolute Christian Science and it can heal. But he says, if it doesn't heal, it means that our consciousness is not yet transparent enough for it. And so he says, go a step further. Go a step further and begin to see that this really begins to identify itself. That this is the power of the mind, of divine mind reading, that this consciousness is going to analyze and uncover and destroy all what is wrong. And you just remain in that mind of Christ which knows all. That divine mind which is the truth in the realm of truth and in the realm of error, where those ideas work and work and work after Christ's truth. And in the measure as we begin to analyze this and see that man at the point of the idea of mind as intelligence brings to the surface all that is not right, all that is ignorant, all that is unwise, that at the point of mind, main at the point of the idea of power, is uncovering all that is of false power, of egotistic power, of will power, of irritated power, of weakness, and so on. And so he goes through the seven synonymous terms again and just analyzes the count of it. And through this consciousness, he begins to see there is soul sense in it, identity in it, and that mind reading is going to bring forth that idea which is ruling the case. And in this way, brings out that specific truth, which is the truth about the specific error. Can you see, it's no more reasoning from error to the specific truth. And it's no more reasoning from a specific truth to a specific error. It's reasoning from the divine mind to the specific truth, and the specific truth uncovering the specific error. So from above, really what we will see next week with those verticals in the levels of science, how through that vertical the one truth is individualizing itself, but it is individualized as infinite individual truth, that it comes further down and uncovers the individual error. And so in that way he begins to see that every treatment really helps and never returns void. And that's his method. You can see it is now the very opposite of what has been done right at the beginning of the development of Christian Science practice, that we go out from a belief and reason from belief to truth. Now it is reasoning from truth to error. Yes. So, in this way, thought has really progressed and progressed, and naturally, little by little, this method of practice, which rests on the basis of Christian Science, on the level of Christian Science, then slowly yielded to an even higher sense of practice, the practice on the level of absolute Christian Science. On the level of absolute Christian Science, where we have seen yesterday, that their practitioner, treatment, patient, and healing are all one, namely the eternal activity of life, truth, and love. They begin to realize that there is an eternal practitioner always at work. Day and night he is at work, namely God, life, truth, and love. As the eternal practitioner, he is never tired. He goes on and on and on, just practicing, practicing, practicing. Because life is going on, truth is going on, love is going on as a fact of being. This is really the success mechanism of divinity. That there is always that success mechanism which says, I am life, I bring forth always a new truth, always the truth, and that truth is anyway whole, is at the point of perfection, love. And then we have seen that that gives an eternal treatment. Truth, life, love. That one treatment individualizes itself infinitely. That truth as truth is infinitely individualized in life, you remember, and at the point of love is meeting that need, is adapted to that need to which needs to be covered. So that that we can see the one practitioner, life, truth and love, gives just one compound infinite treatment which takes care of the individual situation. So that the patient then is always fathered by life and mothered by love. We have then Christianity, life and love, where we see that treatment is constantly going on and takes care of the patient as the eternal father, providing, 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 as the eternal mother, preserving, preserving, protecting, embracing, keeping it perfect. So that finally, in the fourth column we had in Absolute Christian Science, truth and love, namely showing that the fact of being truth has always been at the point of fulfillment, love. That there we did not have any more the synonymous term life, because nothing had to be done to the situation. It is really the consciousness of truth which sees everything at the point of love or perfection. Well, that was Absolute Christian Science. I've taken it very quickly because next week we can do that slowly. But then Saul pushed forward and said, why should we give a lot of treatments? Why should we give a lot of treatment to every patient? Why not just see that there is one thing going on, namely one practitioner, one treatment, one patient, one health? And so Saul touches sometimes the level of divine science, one life as a practitioner, one truth as a collective treatment, Jesus healing the multitudes, just one patient seeing that what we are engaged in is to heal the world, the whole world, and not only individual cases, and seeing finally that all that there is going on as wholeness is the divine principle love, namely a principle which works out a universal plan, principle love. So that finally we go even a step higher and say, and all this is one. It's the infinite one. The infinite one knowing itself as the infinite one. In that everything is included. But then, you can see, then when we say that the infinite one only knows itself, this is not just a belief, it's not just mysticism, it's just not one statement, it is the all-inclusive statement of all what has been building up as a structure of being in consciousness. So saying all is one is something very different from saying all is one. I can say all is one and it's mysticism. I can say all is one, and meaning in that all these ideas are classified and systematized and structuralized and dimensionalized and cybernetically into being. This is something very different. Then we should reach that point of which Mrs. Eddy warned us and said, in principle and practice, and said, if Christian Science is taken as a belief which just says all, God is all, then Christian Science will again be lost. But if we understand that God is all, then Christian Science cannot unfold. So this is a matter of, so to say, life and death for the whole idea of Christian Science. If we stay in belief and have just wonderful statements, but which have no scientific structure behind it, then it's belief, then it's mysticism, then it has to go. It must go and has to go. So in this way, can you see how the whole idea of Christian Science practice developed? And if we can see the steps, we are not in danger of repeating these false steps or these insufficient steps. And we are aware where we have to go, that we go on and on and on. Yes.